broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 9th of the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, that absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Quickly, a recap of yesterday's show. We had on Kirk Crosby, discussion of all things liberty, localhoneyman.com with me. We talked about Spotify confirms Joe Rogan actually removed his own episodes of racially offensive language. I think Joe's up in the night and wimping out. I think he needs to get some guts. Rogan was offered $100 million, believe it or not, by Rumble to bail from Spotify and join Rumble, CEO, all over the, quote, invitation, if you will. And all I can tell you is I think Joe Rogan needs to stand up and get a backbone. You can't judge today's reality by, well, yesterday's reality by today's standards is the way I ought to say it. Maybe Joe didn't act perfectly, but number one, everything's taken out of context. It was a big old lie, an absolute dishonest, satanic takedown from the pit of hell. They got to stop that. But you know what? Joe needs to tell him to go fly a kite. He needs to say, look, going forward, I'll be a little more careful with the N-word, but when the rap thugs can use it every day, you know what? Who's to say that I can't? Are you telling me that blacks can use it, but white can't? What kind of a racist are you? Let's all start to quit using those terms going forward. Society's changing for the better. Good, let it be. But let's not attack and destroy people's entire careers over ignorant things such as judging yesterday's reality by today's standards is a dishonest narrative that'll take everyone down if we fall for the lie. Joe, get a backbone, buddy. Stand up, get some guts. Don't apologize. Tell them to fly a kite. Not because the language is great, but that isn't the point. The point is this takedown cancel culture stuff has gotta stop. All right, Arizona representatives and senators introduced resolution to pull down Arizona's 2020 presidential electors. There's a big old battle in the Arizona Republican Party, folks. Trump ally moves to, quote, decertify the 2020 elections in three counties. WashingtonExaminer.com and Representative Finkham's bill to decertify Arizona's elections, more about 2022 than about 2020, says Arizona Republic. This is a huge issue. Peter Thiel, one of the longest-serving board members of Meta, that's Facebook's corporation, since 2005, is bailing. Peter Thiel, plenty of cash, decides he wants to jettison Facebook and work on Republican or electing Republicans in 2022 and beyond. Interesting thing for that. IRS backs down for now. The IRS will no longer force taxpayers to submit a scan of their face just to see their own tax records. That was hour one. Hour two, police stop. Yeah, a distraught elderly man for speeding. They helped him connect his TV rather than giving him a ticket. This was the simulcast with the Sheriff Max show on Bridie on TV. We showed the video. Incredible police work going on, ladies and gentlemen. How much do you know about community policing, I would ask? Much more than walking a beat, ladies and gentlemen. Community policing, reducing fear in the community. What a wonderful example. We talked about that. We talked about our Bridie on TV guest and then met him, John DeLemme. He's the author of a book about capitalism. He's a capitalism strategist. He's a conservative political commentator. He's also the founder of conservativebusinessjournal.com. And he's got a counterattack going on leftists, that's for sure. Mr. DeLemme has built one of the top conservative news sites, taking on the fake stream press. John's book, Making Capitalism Great Again, How to Maximize America's Booming Economy, plus the ABCs of Socialism versus Capitalism. Great stuff, great interview, all on Bridie on TV. the Sheriff Mack Show, simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live. And he's also the host of the absolutely explosive, no holds bar, uncensored. What do they call this show? It's basically a, what is it called? CBJ Real News Podcast is what it is. Great stuff from John. He also covers subject matter that most conservatives won't touch because they're afraid they'll lose their paychecks or melt down. Not us at Liberty Roundtable Live, but I get it. Archives of the simulcast of the shows available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net for audio, and brighteon.tv if you want to check out the TV or video version of the broadcast. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, yeah, it's National Pizza Day today. Got to talk about the important news. National Pizza Day. All the pizza companies have incredible specials. Mac down on America's favorite food. There you go. By the way, speaking of Mac, Sheriff Mac's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Wednesday morning.
All right, you going to gear up for pizza day, man?
You just reminded me that I probably will.
All right, because they tried to have bagel day on pizza day, but pizza won out and bagels had to pick a different day, sir.
Yeah, I like blueberry bagels, but that's about it. I don't like bagels that much.
All right, I'm a pizza guy. I love gourmet pizza, ladies and gentlemen. And our guest today, she is a courageous whistleblower, ladies and gentlemen. She's an American hero. Her nickname is Nurse Erin, but her name really is Erin Olszewski. Is that how you say it? Erin, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you, Sam. So nice to be on today.
All right. Are you going to eat pizza?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in. Absolutely.
All right, did I butcher your last name? Is it Olszewski?
Yeah, you did fine. I think you did a wonderful job with it.
All right, I'm better at Nurse Erin, ladies and gentlemen. That's easier for guys like me. But she wrote an incredible book, Undercover Epicenter Nurse: How Fraud, Negligence, and Greed Led to Unnecessary Deaths at Elmhurst Hospital in New York. Erin Olszewski, ladies and gentlemen. Look, this is serious. Nurse Erin, I want to talk about this because when you went in, you thought you were really going to help. You're kind of, it's kind of like the guys that grow up in America. They go to high school. They learn to shoot. They think it's incredible. They join the military, and by golly, I'm going to fight for the greatest country on the earth. They get there and they go, what the heck? And then after they get done and they come home, they go, that ain't what I signed up for, people. You were in the military too. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, I was. I also served overseas in Iraq. So when you said that, I'm like, yeah, I agree with that as well. So there's a lot that the everyday people, you know, that don't realize that's going on, not only in our government but also within our healthcare system.
All right, I want to dig in hard. I want people to look back. We had Nurse Erin on the Sheriff Mack Show, and we dug into a lot of the basics about her book and who she is and what she's done and how she's basically really a nurse, now investigative journalist, spending the last several months on the front lines of the pandemic and more. I want to drill into this in great detail, Erin. So you went there. You got shocked and dismayed about the murder and the mayhem and the neglect and the abuse and the jettisoning all real honorable health protocols in favor of this pro-death protocol agenda in the hospitals. You literally were armed with a camera by an attorney. You went in undercover and filmed a lot of this stuff. Dismay turned into shock, turned into what, Erin?
I don't know. It was almost kind of disheartening being, you know, a lot of us sign up to help people. I think the majority of people go into the health profession because they want to help people. And, you know, that's the spirit and the heart behind, you know, everything. I guess I will speak for myself, but I didn't see it anymore. You know, I saw, you know, a lot of greed, like I wrote about, you know, that money was kind of what catapulted all of these protocols. And, you know, there's a lot of, I didn't realize, I guess, until I was in New York, how much politics could affect a patient's life. So, you know, my first kind of red flag was just the banning of the medications, you know, because, and the excuse was being used that, you know, they were off label and not approved, but also we're in, you know, a worldwide pandemic, and that just doesn't work like that. You know, it's not common for off label like medications to be used. So, you know, that to remove patients' right to try and to insert, you know, government political officials into healthcare and remove the doctor-patient relationship and the nurse-patient relationship is ultimately what is exactly wrong with our healthcare system. There's too many cooks in the kitchen, and because of it, the people that have signed up to help people are unable to do their jobs. And if they want to stand up for their patients and their profession, then they're kicked out. So obviously, like, I was kicked out in May 2020, and we've seen it happen, and it's still happening to this day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Nurse Erin levels her accusations about Elmhurst in a documentary series called Perspectives on the Pandemic. Sam Bushman, Sheriff Mack, Nurse Erin, in seconds on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Nurse Erin, Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio. We're talking to Nurse Erin, and no doubt greed's at the heart of a lot of the abuses that are going on relating to COVID. But when they literally say, we're going to put together an experimental vaccine, we're going to warp speed that sucker to market globally, we're going to skip all the normal trials, all the reality, knowing that every other vaccine mass distribution plan has gone wrong. They've had to halt them in the past and everything else. But yet ignoring all the scientific evidence about the dangers and everything else, forging ahead. Anybody who dissents, they say, is nuts, crazy, criminal, whatever. While at the same time denying doctors their normal ability to say, I've got a medication that's off use, or, you know, I don't know the exact words for this, but hey, you know what? It's not really declared for this, but we're going to try it or use it anyway. We believe it can work. And doctors used to have that latitude. Denying doctors the latitude to do what's best for their patients, pretending these off-use medications have no place whatsoever, but yet rolling out an experimental vaccine virtually by force? Aaron, in my opinion, we've crossed the line now from greed and ignorance and incompetence and whatever other words you want to describe to flat out criminal. What do you say?
Yeah. I mean, it's, and I don't say this lightly, but it's murder, nothing short of even genocide, because to restrict a patient's right to try, and they continue to do it to this day. And knowing that it's hurting patients and it's not helping, and continuing to do it is probably one of the most horrendous things that I get, maybe we'll ever see in our lifetime, but it may be worse that anyone has ever seen. That's why, you know, there's it's going to take a lot of us to be able to stand up and say no. And if we have to lose our jobs because of it, so be it. You know, God will provide, and he will, like, and he has for many people. But it's like, why stay in a job, you know, when you know that it's ending people's lives unnecessarily? I just, I don't know how a lot of these people following these orders and also giving them are able to sleep at night, to be honest with you. Like, what is a life worth to them?
Amen to that. Sheriff, you want to start there, sir?
Yes, I do. First of all, Nurse Aaron, I have to tell you that when we had you on our Brighty on TV show, is the biggest response from the people, our viewers and listeners and members. It really got a lot of attention. We got lots of emails and calls that was the greatest show ever, and that you did a fantastic job. So I wanted to pass that on to you. It's the whole time we've been doing Brighteon, we've had some amazing guests on, but you had the best response.
Wow.
Also, by way of, well, yeah, I guess it comes with the territory with you. Okay, so I think most people want to know, why are they doing this? What is the motivation? Is it political? Is it a little bit political to support the agenda to control us with the so-called pandemic agenda, that government has to look like they're telling the truth, so people have to die in order for the government to prove, see how horrible COVID-19 is? Look, thousands, millions, hundreds of thousands are dying, and we have to do something. And is it that, or is it also monetary? Is it, maybe it's a combination of both. I've heard all sorts of rumors, and maybe you could put this to rest. Do the hospitals actually get huge payments every time somebody dies? I've heard 40,000. I've heard 100,000.
Well, every time somebody dies, and if they claim it's COVID, right?
Is that true? If somebody dies and they can say it's COVID, do they get money per death, or do you know?
Yes, that's 100% true. I can say 100%. While I was in New York, the patients that were admitted with a COVID diagnosis, and that could be, you know, COVID, you know, positive, or it could be like a COVID rule out, which is, oh, they might have it, which was everybody. So that was
right.
A $13,000 paycheck for the hospital.
How much?
They were
how much?
$13,000.
Okay.
And then if they were put on a ventilator while in the hospital, which that's all they were doing, knowing it was killing 100% of the patients by the time I got there, that was $39,000. And on top of it, there were some places, not every place, and we haven't been able to quite figure this out, why some qualified and some didn't, but there were $10,000 per death as well. So
in totality, those three numbers were a total, or did one replace the others? So
no, that
you
was
didn't get to
a total.
Okay, total.
They
so about 50,000, 60,000 per death.
Approximately, yes. And then they were refusing autopsies. So we just continued to pile them up in the freezer tracks on top of one another. And I'm not sure where they took them. But it was like, I felt like I was living in a Nazi Germany, like, you know, a camp. Like, I literally, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know, and I knew what I knew what was going on. And so did everybody else. But I just, you know, I was like, I was ready. I'm like, you know what? They can take my license. They can take whatever. But at this point, I don't want to be a part of this. And sadly, a lot of people just kind of went along with it because we, you know, the nurses, and this is still happening. They're still paying nurses this amount to travel, but we were getting $10,000 a week as nurses, and those doctors were getting up to $60,000, you know, a week. So, you know, the paychecks became more important than the people at that point. And that is why we have continued to where we are to this day, and it has not stopped, because too many people are putting, you know, the profit over a human being.
So, Nurse Aaron, tell me this,
taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, where does the money come from, though? Who authorized it? Where does the money come from? Do you have a money trail on this?
FEMA. So FEMA's behind all of that. I just remember, like, when I was in New York, there was FEMA trucks all over the place. And so that's where the money was funneled through. But also, you know, they were putting in, like, the medical billing coders, if we could get a whistleblower that was in New York as a, you know, a coder to come forward, like, they were also, you know, using, they call it upcoding, which is adding diagnoses in order to get more money through even Medicare and Medicaid as well. So it was definitely a planned event, because that doesn't just happen. And we don't ever ban medications for treatment, especially in a pandemic, ever. And those treatments were working, and they're still trying to ban treatments to this day. And I'm watching it, you know, every single day. People are sick, trying to get what they need, and they can't. And because of it, you know, they're ending up back in the hospitals. And, you know, I see very few come back out, because they just, it's a turnkey style operation, and there's a lot of little foot soldiers that are just kind of following the orders, and people are still dying because of it. And it's just hard to watch.
So let everybody know, what are the remedies that you have seen work?
The FLCCC protocol that they're
denying, they're trying to make them illegal and you can't get them. So what works? I mean, is it just ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine? Or is there others? Are there others? Or do those two really work?
Yeah, they actually do. So there's doctors, there's scientists all over the world that are good studying, you know, looking into what could work, what couldn't work. And early on, we were treating with the hydroxychloroquine and zinc. And we used that actually in Florida here. And our patients were successfully, you know, they went home and treated at home, and they're fine. You know, we didn't admit everybody. So that does work still. The ivermectin absolutely 100% works. And, you know, I partnered up with a couple special forces, a great, you know, medical doctor and a PA, and we started America's Clinic. And, you know, we're getting the treatments that work out to people, despite what the government wants.
Hang tight, Nurse Aaron. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Do you like pizza for breakfast? It's National Pizza Day on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
White House science advisor resigns after internal probe found he bullied staffers.
If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot.
That was not the case, as Eric Lander, President Biden's science advisor, was allowed to resign last night after an internal investigation showed evidence that he bullied subordinates. Lander took responsibility for his actions and says he was devastated for causing hurt to past and present colleagues. On the Ukraine front, President Biden said the Russian-built Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline to Germany would be suspended if Russia invades Ukraine. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz offered support without explicitly saying the project would be halted. The Supreme Court reinstated an Alabama congressional map that a lower court said diluted the power of black votes, saying that the court would pay more attention to challenges to voting maps. USA Radio News.
Fever is a potential sign of COVID or the flu. And the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Be accurate with Exergen. Exergen Temporal Scanners, available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
NATO Secretary General Jan Stoltenberg on CNN weighs in on the Russia-Ukraine crisis.
There's no certainty, but what we see is a continued military buildup with more and more forces and also key enablers like military hospitals and the logistics. So this is the warning time is going down and the risk for an attack is going up. And we also see the threatening rhetoric, the very strong rhetoric from Russia saying that we need to give in to their demands. If not, there will be what they call military technical consequences. And then, of course, we have the track record of Russia using force against Ukraine before. So if you put all that together, military buildup, threatening rhetoric, and the track record of Russia, of course, there is a real danger. But we continue to work for a political solution. It's possible to preserve peace. And that's exactly why we put so much energy in from NATO side to find a political way forward.
USA Radio News.
Yeah, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Richard Mack with me, the good sheriff, CSPOA.org. And courageous whistleblower Nurse Erin with us as well. Yeah, she doubled down and leveled her accusations about Elmhurst in a documentary series called Perspectives on the pandemic, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the money here. The money comes from FEMA for COVID, whether it be deaths or ventilators or checking into the hospital with COVID, et cetera, et cetera. It is disaster. It's been going on for the last 2 years. Most folks, doctors, nurses, et cetera, turn a blind eye because of the cash they're getting paid. A lot of them turn a blind eye because they realize their careers will be destroyed. They realize that their whole licensing that they've worked so hard, so long for might be yanked from them. They might end up with student loans and debt on top of it all and have no license by which to pay it back, etc. So a lot of these people are over a barrel. A lot of them are scared. A lot of them are uncomfortable. They don't know what to do. Many of them don't have the guts to stand up for a variety of reasons, as I've already articulated. But I want to talk about the criminality of this, though. Really, Congress funds FEMA, right, Sheriff Mack?
Yeah, of course they do.
All right, so the bottom line is all 535 members of Congress, I'm really holding on the chopping block for this. Look, all spending originates in the House, and the House and the Senate, who have already sold us down the river to the tune of $30-plus trillion in verifiable debt and well over $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities, et cetera. These people that are literally have already bankrupt the nation, selling our children into slavery, virtually speaking, These people really are the ones to blame for this. They run around and act like, oh, by golly, and whatever. But that really, Congress is responsible for all this. You wouldn't have this situation if you didn't have big money for the manipulation. But along with the big money, that's bad enough. But what about this narrative where we're going to stop all off-use medications that could save lives, but we're going to promote fast-track warp speed, an experimental jab? Nurse Aaron, at some point, you've got criminal backed by dishonest debt money, blood money over this, don't we?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize, I mean, Congress approves the spending, but it's actually the taxpayers that fund it. So, like, every single person is funding this. And, like, you're exactly right. I mean, it's every single one of the members, you know, in Congress that are not doing anything, and that's left and right. You know, they're ultimately responsible for people dying unnecessarily as well. You know, and not to stand up and start questioning that. And yes, the vaccine, pushing an experimental vaccine, but also pushing experimental, like, treatments. So, you know, the remdesivir that they've been giving in the hospitals, a lot of people don't know this, but there were people that we had no idea who they were, where they came from, that were wandering around the halls in Elmhurst. And they were going into patient rooms, and they were running the remdesivir IVs without permission. So they were experimenting on these patients. And when questioned, you know, they just said that, you know, they were hired by the, you know, the hospital, and they're working on treatment, experimental treatments. They would be taking their blood. And you know, I even asked them, like, do you have permission to do this? You know, does the family know that you're in here doing this? And, you know, never had a straight answer. So look what they've been doing. They've kicked families out of these hospitals. Nobody knows what's going on. They're pushing, you know, the remdesivir, which is causing, you know, kidney failure, multi-system organ failure in patients currently right now. And, you know, and experimental vaccines with no liability, and they're mandating it. So, you know, how do you mandate a product that has no liability to anybody? And then in the meantime, you know, getting rid of all these treatments that are cost effective and cheap, and they work, in order to just, I guess, keep people sick. I mean, I don't know how anybody anywhere in any type of, you know, power seat can turn their blind eye to this and look the other way.
Sheriff?
That brings up another question. Have you been asked by any congressional committee or state committee or county or city council to testify before them? Have you been asked by any group, anyone to testify as to what your findings were?
No, nobody. And we think
never.
It's because never. And, you know, I've actually tried for patients, along with other doctors in my area here, and this is Florida, so like I'm in Florida. A lot of people think that we're extremely free. We're not. These hospitals and courthouses are just better at hiding it. But you know, they discredited me. You know, being able to testify on behalf of a patient, and as well as the doctor, because we're not experts. So they're just picking and choosing their own experts. But I've never been asked to testify in front of Congress, in front of anybody. If anything, they've tried to bury my story, and that's why I'll never stop talking, because I have, you know, a mission to give these people that have died, that I stacked in the freezer trucks that didn't have to die, you know, justice. And I mean, they just picked the wrong nurse, I guess, you know, but
where's Governor Ron DeSantis when you need him?
Yeah. You know, I did meet him. I gave him a signed copy of my book. He knows my story, but it's just, you know, so what is it? Like, what is going on? And why is, you know, things like this being buried? Because this was back, my story came out in May 2020. We're almost 2 years later, and it's still going on. That in itself kind of shows you that, you know, these people are leading everybody, you know, on the wrong path, and they're not being truthful about what they're doing.
Hey, Sam, this question's for you. Maybe we could be the first one to have her testify at our national convention in front of sheriffs.
Well, we need to do something because, ladies and gentlemen, look, when you fund this at a congressional level and literally steal from the taxpayers on a fraud, on a dishonest agenda where we're going to force vaccines on innocent people, regardless of the repercussions or health problems, when you deny off-use medications that doctors used to have the latitude to use to protect and defend and save people first, do no harm. And at some point, there is a guilty party here. Who is driving this? You can say, well, FEMA's carrying it out. You can say Congress is funding it. You can say the American taxpayers are paying for it. But yet at the same time, somebody somewhere is running the narrative. And you could say, well, that's Dr. Whacked Out Fauci. Maybe, or maybe he's just the front man to take the heat. We got to find out, and Sheriff, I don't know who better to investigate this than maybe sheriffs. How do we find out where is this, where are the marching orders coming from? Because if they're not coming from the president, if they're not coming from the judicial branch, meaning the judges, which in either case would be problematic, because they're not lawmaking authority. But is it coming from the legislative lawmaking authority? What laws on the books? Where is this coming from? Who's in charge around here? And what you're telling me is I'm paying for my own demise, the demise of everybody around me in a murderous plot for gain and money and, I don't know, power and tyranny and whatever. But we're remaking our whole society over this thing. And I'm the taxpayer funding it, and I'm really to blame. But yet, where's the head of this snake, Doc? Sheriff first, and then Nurse Erin.
Well, you know, the federal government, well, maybe all governments, but federal government has been stealing the money and taking the money without our permission and sometimes without our knowledge. So, you know, the corruption of Washington, D.C., yeah, I blame it a little bit on the American people because we haven't awakened to our awful situation, but I still put it at Washington, D.C. corruption. That's where I put the blame. The American people are so trusting that we think that these people wouldn't ever do something like that. I believe that most of this has never been congressionally authorized. I think FEMA has their monies and they just go for it. The presidents, including every president that we've ever had, at least for the last 100 years, spend money without congressional approval, and that's illegal. But the IRS, you know, what they do to take money from people and how they fund all the crap going on in Washington, D.C., and the just like the commercial from Rand Paul, he blames Congress. Well, it's, you know, he's part of it. He's in Congress. And so all of this, it's just kind of one big circle of everybody pointing the finger at each other. The bottom line is Congress is just completely corrupt, and they steal money from us all the time, and they misuse the money and act unconstitutionally. And, you know, and then we have people come out and support this, like churches that come out and support this. It's just a big, fat rick of corruption.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to ask Nurse Erin the same question on the other side of the break. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure glad with all the mayhem and murder and destruction and dishonesty and spending ourselves into oblivion, I'm sure glad I can just escape with National Pizza Day, baby.
For decades, leftists, liberal socialists, and feminists have been screaming and crying, "My body, my choice," in order to justify the premeditated murder of innocent children in the womb. However, this is a fallacious argument since science has proven and demonstrated that the baby has a separate set of DNA from the mother. If it's not your DNA, it's not your body. That is science, and you should trust the science. Remarkably, the same people who have been claiming "my body, my choice" for decades now want to force you to inject foreign substances into your body against your will. Obviously, they never cared about "my body, my choice." They just wanted to control you and have permission to kill babies. I am Ammon Bundy, and when you elect me governor of Idaho, I will sign an executive order on day one of my governorship prohibiting abortion in the state of Idaho. Because premeditated murder of the innocent should never be legal anywhere in the world, especially Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, all you meat lovers, it's National Pizza Celebration Day. What is it, National Pizza Day? Wow. Yeah, man, it's serious, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business. National Pizza Day is today, Feb 9th. Yeah, businesses across the nation are celebrating with specials and everything else, man. Get your pizza today. Nurse Aaron's with us, ladies and gentlemen, and I joke about pizza because it's just one of those things they always push for propaganda. I mean, I'm fine to go get a piece of pizza, ladies and gentlemen, but why is the mainstream press talking about National Pizza Day when they're not talking about National Criminal Day? Look, your government officials and where the head of this beast is, I don't know. That's what I'm pushing for, though. Who are the criminals that need to be prosecuted and literally tried for treason over this dishonest COVID narrative where it's like, hey, we're going to fast-track experimental jabs? We're going to deny any other solutions that are inexpensive and tried and tested and true. Doctors have no latitude. Anybody that bucks the trend is going to lose their career, lose their everything they've worked for their whole lives. Nurse Aaron, where the heck is the head of this beast? Who's in charge around here? Do we know?
No, it's funny you guys mentioned that because when I was in Elm Cliff Hospital in New York, I actually tried to find solutions. Before I reached out to an attorney, I talked to my leads and I'm like, hey, who do we talk to? How can we change this? Oh, I don't know. You know, it's someone above. Okay. Went to the administration of the hospital. They're like, yeah, we can't do anything. You know, it's above. So like everybody just put it off on somebody else. And that's exactly what they're doing, you know, in the big grand scheme of things within our government. You know, nobody wants to take blame. Nobody wants to take responsibility. It's everybody else's fault. And they have everyday Americans, you know, just running around in circles, you know, and you know, you see this on the news, like you're saying, like the National Pizza Day, like they're not going to talk about themselves. They're not going to, they know they're corrupt. They know what they're doing and they know that their people are dying because of it. But, you know, their jobs are more important and burying the truth, you know, in order to protect, you know, the image that they want everyone to perceive is more important to them than anything else. And so that's when I used to be, you know, I was very into politics. And now so much, I don't really appreciate anybody that's not doing anything to stand up for, you know, what they swore an oath to do, you know, and so, you know, it's going to end up having to be people like, you know, Sheriff Mack and USAM and, you know, little, you know, nurse from Florida, you know, like just to be able to rock their boat and start, you know, standing up and becoming we the people once again.
Hey, Sheriff Mack, I want to be the redneck with the garden hoe, man, and chop the snake's head right off, buddy. How do I get that
done? We need everybody. Everyone from every background.
Well, that brings up another question. Were you ever really politically active? I mean, are you a Republican, right-wing activist? Before this, were you really into politics or were you just a nurse and trying to do your job?
No, I mean, I wasn't into politics. I think I first started getting into politics when, I'll just go really quickly. No one's ever asked me this question, actually. So when I was sent to Iraq, Bush was in office. So, you know, he sent us with no body armor. I had no flak vest. We had very little ammo. And, you know, we just got put out there going on missions that made no sense to look busy. It's kind of similar to what's happening right now. So at that point, you know, I was raised Republican and I voted for Obama the first time because I was like, who is this? You know, I was disappointed because of what Bush did. And then I, you know, ended up not voting for Obama a second time. And then when Trump decided to run, that's when I really started getting political because I'm like, you know what? Finally, somebody that is not afraid to speak up. And so then I got, you know, very into politics, very Republican. I actually spoke in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. But my problem was, and it's always been kind of in the back of my mind.
Wait, you spoke at the rally? You spoke at Trump's rally?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes,
Who asked you to do that?
Well, we set up a lot of other nurse whistleblowers. So there was a large group of us that all spoke, and trying to get the word out. So it was, we've been around for a while. We just are being, you know, hushed and nobody is sharing our stories like they should, you know. But, you know, I got fired. The main post that got me fired, I posted on social media, was President Trump, please investigate New York City health and hospital system. And that was in May of 2020. And like, it's never been investigated. It's never been followed up on. And I don't think they want an investigation because they don't want people like me with actual video. And I know there's a lot of other people with video. There's another whistleblower. He's a CRNA that worked there that is, you know, willing and ready to testify as well, not as outspoken as I am, because they don't want to put us up on the stand, because then, you know, we're going to have our evidence out for the rest of the world to see. And it's going to show and prove the murder and essentially a mass genocide that's been taking place all along.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is bad. And Sheriff Mack, I really believe if we're not very careful, this will lead to the next civil war in America. I don't want it to. I'm just telling you, when there is no way for redress of grievance, when any time you want to peacefully assemble to express your displeasure with something, they turn it into somehow an insurrection. Whenever you want to go to church, they say no. Whenever you want to have your free speech, they say you're peddling fake news and they shut you down. Literally, they are going to create, because there's no more outlets for the American people. And as the American people wake up to the fraud of this COVID lie and the abuse that has been committed under it, the literally almost a million deaths in America, how many of them are legitimate versus how many of them are caused by their protocols is still left for debate. How many of them really went into the hospital because of COVID, or they went in and then just happened to have COVID, because there's plenty of money if you have COVID and you go to the hospital. So how many really went because they needed to go to the hospital because of COVID? Well, they answer that question and say, we don't even know. 2 years later, they've admitted to the fraud. Okay, they've admitted to this idea that we're going to, and you can't go to Donald Trump for the answer. He's the guy that literally warped speed of the vaccine to us. And now when he's challenged on the vaccine because they're not safe and effective, he still dumbly doubles down and says, oh, vaccines are great, and wasn't I an awesome guy to bring them all to you? But I'm not for force. Well, I'm glad he's not for force. But you look at this and you go, if you're not very careful, this is going to be the tip of the spear when it comes to a civil war. I'm not wanting this. I'm not advocating for this in any way. I'm just telling you that what happens when 330 million people have no way for any accountability, any solutions, any way to stop the madness, sir. I don't mean to make this bigger than it is, but I'm telling you, people are sick of it. Sheriff Mack.
No, I said the same thing, Sam, and I think you're absolutely correct. I just, it's the writing on the wall. It's a historical prediction and historical prognosis that sooner or later, the people that are frustrated over all these deaths and lies and corruption and illegal spending and just on and on and on. But yeah, when it comes down to murder in hospitals, I think that's where people are going to finally say enough is enough. I don't want civil war either. In fact, I'm the most peaceful man you've ever met in your life. But I agree with you. I just don't believe this is going to remain peaceful if we don't get the peaceful solutions enacted and implemented right away.
Will rogue agents in government cause a civil war because of no accountability, Nurse Aaron? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of thought this so long, but I think originally a lot of people, it was hard to swallow. Like, there's no way that would happen. There's no way that they would ever do that. And then it started happening to them and their loved ones. And I don't know how many people I have spoke to, you know, that lost, you know, a husband or a wife or a grandparent, and they knew that they didn't have to die, you know, and like, that's heartbreaking. And, they're now, you know, building this, you know, I don't like to even call it an army because I'm not promoting like a civil war either. But there is enough people right now that are waking up and that have personally been affected by it, and they're upset, and they want justice and they want what's right. And that's why I think our government just kind of keeps, you know, throwing out these mandates and, you know, kind of strong arming the everyday, you know, person out there that doesn't really understand the grasp of how powerful they can be.
So let me ask you a question. Real quickly, are you going to support DeSantis if he runs for president?
I don't know what else, you know, to do at this point. You know, I would love to support someone running for president that was speaking up on this, you know, and putting their foot down and, you know, getting involved in what's really happening right now. So it's hard to say. I mean, I do support anybody that supports freedom. I'm not saying I won't, but it's just, I'm just tired of everything being ignored, to be honest with you. I'd like to see somebody
kill people. For me and my house, I want to thank you for the courage that you've had in exposing all of this and for risking your life and livelihood and career, everything you've risked to bring this out to the American people. I want to thank you, and I totally honor you and bow to you for what you've done.
Let's get her at the next CSPOA convention coming up. The date's being finalized now, but it'll be later this year before the election. It'll be an incredible event. Maybe we can get Nurse Aaron to stand and deliver, give a little speech, and show some live behind-the-scenes video to the sheriffs. What do you say, Richard Mack?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to extend the invitation to her to be there.
I appreciate it.
And to speak. We're going to have you speak.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm I'll talk to anyone who will listen to me.
Can you show a lot of the video you took? Can you show a lot of the video you took as well?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, so there's no restrictions by your attorneys or anybody else on the video?
No, anything that's public is fair game. I've not released everything because I want to see it go to court.
All right, Aaron, we appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, Nurse Aaron doing a phenomenal job. Go get some pizza. It is National Pizza Day, and we'll have you back soon.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
There she goes, ladies and gentlemen. Nurse Aaron doing a phenomenal job, a courageous whistleblower, telling the tale of liberty. Her book, Undercover Epicenter, of a nurse telling about how fraud, negligence, and greed led to unnecessary deaths at Elmhurst. And really, since she wrote that book, it's really globally now unnecessary deaths. Dishonesty everywhere. Their narrative's unraveling. The problem is there's no accountability and no way to stop them from further abuse, right? That's the problem. I pray rogue agents in government don't create another civil war. That's all I can say. For Sam Bushman, Richard Mack, and Nurse Aaron, God save the Republic!